If you play sports games in 2014, you need Operation Sports. Whether you're knee-deep in an online league, building your offline player career, living the ultimate team life, or simply enjoying one-off games against your friends, Operation Sports will help you get everything possible out of your favorite sports game. The legendary forums at Operation Sports go deep on every topic imaginable, for not just the latest games on the newest platforms, but also some of your favorite ones from years past. You name it, they've got it. Gameplay tips, roster analysis, sliders, critical analysis, wish lists, and terrific places to meet other like-minded sports gamers to form game-specific leagues and communities. Madden, NBA 2K, UFC, MLB The Show, NHL, NCAA, NBA Live, WWE, Forza, Gran Turismo, and more. Of course, that's not all. Operation Sports keeps you up to date with the latest news from around the sports game world, along with in-depth reviews, previews, press releases, and opinions. Each community member can also create their own arena where you, too, can blog about anything sports or sports game related to your heart's content. Operation Sports also produces great audio content, including the Dual Threat podcast, as well as the Press Row podcast, the definitive sports game show. 2014 is going to be another groundbreaking year for sports game. Be sure to make Operation Sports the center of it all. Operation Sports, dedicated to sports game.
This is the Press Row podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, hey, everybody. Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Row podcast. We really appreciate it. We have a fun show for you this week. I took a ride up to Manhattan to the EA Sports Summer Showcase and brought along my friend TJ Lowerman, that sports gamer as well. And we checked out the latest versions of Madden NFL 15, NHL 15, and FIFA 15, all on the next-gen consoles. And we got a chance to sit down, get some demonstrations, some presentations, and just some one-on-one time with some of the key makers of each of those games. So this show puts all of that together for you. Plus, after the interviews and the presentations, TJ and I, along with fellow Press Row podcaster Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, we all get together and sort of compare and contrast our notes on all the games. Up first, we speak with Danny Doberling from Madden, and he walks us through the Skills Challenge and the Gauntlet. And coming up after that, we got some more good stuff from NHL and FIFA. So stick around and enjoy the show. Thank you so much. So we're here with Danny Doberling, a designer on EA Madden NFL 15, and he is here today. First of all, this is your first time being on the Press Row podcast, so welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've been around a long time. My first game was Madden 2002, but
really,
But I've been lurking in the Wiis and the Vitas and all the other SKUs.
So. Sweet. I love the Vita version.
Yes,
of Madden.
Yes, it was a fantastic. I wish we could have made more of them.
And the first patch made it from good to great.
Yeah. I thought so. So I appreciate that.
I hope you're still pushing the Vita forward. I know it's tough economically to get a Vita version of the game made, but TJ and I are both big Vita fans, so we would love it to see another version.
It was definitely a fun project. I would love to do it again. But
cool. So you are here today to show us skills training.
Yes.
Including the Gauntlet. So what are we going to take a look at today?
Yeah, so last year Skills Trainer was our first iteration. It was meant to teach the users, new mechanics, basic Madden skills.
Okay.
We've expanded this year to 48 tutorials and drills. Same principles. We're teaching all the new stuff, all the new tackling, new pass rush mechanics. But we're also expanding on that and teaching football concepts.
Okay.
I mean, that's a first for us. We've never really taught the users, coverage recognition and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's actually basic football to get hopefully their football IQ up. When we play tested it, there's a lot of people that would call cover two, they call these smash pass concepts, they have no idea what it actually is.
Hello.
So here we go. So this is, we're hopefully, this will help you learn just basic football fundamentals.
Okay.
And hopefully even the playing field with the people that are really good at the stick skills. So we can talk about that first.
Sure.
We have a section on the menu called Football Concepts. It's broken down into the different coverages, one, two man, cover three, cover four, cover six.
Okay.
And then we'll get into our 12 most popular passing concepts. So I'm going to turn up the volume 1 second. We're going to enter cover two. We have voiceover by Coach Bill Courtney. He was the coach.
It's a zone defense made up of two parts.
He was the coach on the movie Undefeated.
Okay.
If you ever saw that. So he kind of explains, the first part is, shows you what cover two looks like.
Right.
Then he'll tell you how to recognize it. And I muted it. So it's pointing, it's right now on the screen, it's pointing to the two high safeties.
Yep.
Another telltale sign will be the two cornerbacks playing at a 5 yard depth with outside leverage. The weak area of cover two include the space on each side of the field between the quarterbacks and safeties, as well as the space in the deep middle of the field between the two deep safeties.
So basically what's going on here is we tell you what it looks like, how to recognize it, and now we tell you how to attack each of these coverages. So right now we're drawing on the screen on cover two. We're drawing the areas of the field that are predominantly open against this coverage. So once we tell you about it, we go through different pass concepts that can beat it. And if you've seen the new play call this year, you can call plays by concepts.
Right.
So once you recognize, hey, I know what a flood is, I know this beats cover two, I can just go in and easily audible to it or call the flood play.
Okay.
So we're going to do two reps of the flood play. If you complete it in the area of the field,
right,
you get a success. If you catch it outside, you just try it again. That was bad. Then we go to move on to the next concept. And Bill will tell you, okay, well, a smash is also effective against cover two. We draw the boxes again, and then you run two reps. So we basically do this for each of the coverages. And then once you felt like you've mastered that, we move on to the drill.
Okay.
And in the drill, it's basically we match up against a cover two defense and all offensive plays that should be cover two. So you get the experience of going down the field, leave the hot spots up for you. Get the experience of running what beats cover two. So hopefully when you see it in game, you now recognize it and you remember how to beat it.
Okay.
So that is basically our coverage recognition, what we're calling the attack.
Okay.
We go back out. We go to, also inside football concepts, we have our different pass concepts. So for instance, we'll take you through a curl flat read. Bill Courtney will come on and explain the
2-on-1.
I'm sorry, I killed you with this audio here.
When it's run in the right situation, a defender will be forced to cover just one of two receivers.
So basically, Bill will take you through, we have two types of reads. There's a progression read, and then there is like a defensive player read. So this one, we're gonna tell you to watch a player, and based on his action is who you throw to. And in the tutorial, we're gonna tell you basically who's open, right? So we've got our defensive key, he's gonna cover the curl, and the flat will be open. So you run two reps of that. And then after that, we make you run the other read. So now the curl will be open, it'll cover the flat. So now when you call a play, with this with curl flat inside a play, you'll hopefully have remembered, hey, here's the guy I got a key on, and he's, one of the routes should be open.
Okay.
Once we've mastered that, the drill, we basically, we don't tell you what he's gonna do, and you have to make the right read and complete the pass.
Nice.
All right, so that's basically our football concepts. Like I said, hopefully, people increase their football IQ, that they'll feel less intimidated, and they'll hopefully recognize more coverages and stuff. We added to each of the areas. We have, in defense we have new pass rush, new hit stick, new tackling. All the new mechanic stuff is covered. Also, we have a strategy section.
Interesting.
We drop you in different situations, for instance, like backed up against your goal line.
Okay.
You have access to play call. You can start coming up with a strategy of like, okay, here's what plays are working for me in these types of situations.
Okay.
So it's more of a learning and what works for you. And then finally, what I think is the coolest thing we did is gauntlet mode.
Okay.
This started as a side project. We committed to doing all these cool things for Skills Trainer. but we wanted to do something really different. So during our downtime, we worked on kind of a meta experience for Gauntlet Mode. And Gauntlet is a 40-level challenge where we throw everything you learned at Skills Trainer at you.
Okay.
And we drop you in situations. We ramp up the difficulty, okay, and then every five levels, we throw a boss battle at you.
Sweet.
And the boss battles are kind of... they're kind of out there. It's kind of more of an ode to the old Madden minigames. Like, it's all about stick skills.
Okay.
So Cam Newton voices over Gauntlet Mode.
Okay.
You have five lives to get through the gauntlet, and it is definitely an old-school arcade challenge. It is definitely tough to beat the gauntlet. So I'm running through some of the past concepts right now that I just learned in Skills Trainer. This is all the easy content.
Okay.
Try to get you the first
boss. Are
you
a Giants fan, by the way?
No, I'm not. I'm a Dolphin fan, so I wouldn't admit that openly in public. But, you know, we were in the Super Bowl just recently in 1983. So.
Yeah, come on. I mean, you were alive back then.
I was.
Okay,
I was.
Good.
I was kicking back then.
I was not. Close.
All right, so we're going to take one more rep. So the challenges get harder based on difficulty and the tougher Skills Trainer drills.
Okay.
So now here's our first battle. We're going to tell you, you know, bosses appear every five reps. The first one is you have to make a 110-yard field goal in 220-mile-an-hour winds. We call it hurricane season.
Okay.
So you'll see the hook on this thing. Here's our, here's our new kicking arc.
Right.
It basically bounces along with the wind.
Okay.
So we're going to... you can see the kick meter is really responding to that.
25 mile an hour wind.
So we're going to see if we can hit this.
That
get that hook, get that hook. There it is.
He does Octo Coach.
So that's the first boss battle. We have plenty of crazy stuff.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin all of them.
Sure.
All I'm going to say is my favorite is you are dropped into Super Bowl Media Day and you have to return a touchdown during... with all media personnel. So there's a lot of fun stuff we did. You know, Madden, we sometimes get this, you know, we don't want to take, you know, these risky challenges with funny stuff, but I think we added, you know, a lighthearted mode and you're learning in the process. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked about it on the show forever. Sports video games cater to people who know everything about the sport.
Yep.
But even those people, you know, and some like me who knows sports really well, yep, knows games really well, sometimes I just don't know, all right, what will a cover two, you know, if my opponent is doing something repeatedly, what's the best tactic, what's the best strategy to stop a play action pass to the tight end that's regularly working, or if he's, you know, if he's constantly hitting me over the middle,
right,
what's the best defense? So any and all help that can help you with that, as well as, okay, strategically, what a real NFL coach is doing in these kind of situations, as opposed to what's the best way from a video game perspective to do it. So any and all kind of stuff that you can do from that perspective, I think, is going to be very well received.
And we, you know, we emphasize that in Skills Trainer, teaching you about the football concepts, but it also carries through in the new play call. You know, like I said before, you can call plays based on the concept. We also have a section, it's called By Strategy. So we kind of tag the concepts of what beats what.
Yeah.
So based on, you know, telling you what we think you're going to run, we're like, hey, you know, this might work for this situation. So it's definitely, you kind of have the knowledge of the Coach Blast app from last year. You know what works by community.
Right.
Based on all this telemetry, all these games they're playing, this usually works in this situation. So I think it's a big step forward, giving you more knowledge to help you call plays.
TJ, any questions or thoughts?
Yeah, like you were saying, even sometimes you do know what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
But it might happen so infrequently in a game that just coming here and just doing repetitions,
yes,
helps a ton. Especially last year with read option.
Yes.
Oh, when I was 49ers, absolutely. I was like, all right, I need to know, yes, which guy I'm watching. And I just came into the Skills Trainer, and I just did it and did it and did it and,
yep,
did it.
Like, I worked on NCAA and Madden, and I mean, I had a full year of testing the option. Like, you know, my friends are, you know, aficionados of whatever, but I can run the read option on them ridiculously. I played this so much, but yeah, I think Skills Trainer did help. I mean, definitely helped me do it. We also this year have a bunch of all the more advanced options. We have midline, we have inverted veer. So we really get, if you're a Niners fan or an Eagles, so we definitely deep dive into that playbook. So we can help you more. I don't know if anyone wants to give the second boss a shot right now.
Right, go for it, TJ.
So,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah, sure.
I want to ask, because you mentioned NCAA. No NCAA this year. What have come out right now?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? How,
yeah,
do you feel about that?
You know, I miss it. I love NCAA. I'm a college guy. I'm a Miami Hurricane fan. I definitely miss it. I would love for them, you know, to settle or whatever, and let us do it again, or wherever the powers that be make it happen. But until we know anything, you know.
So be honest with me. Somewhere in the secret labs of Orlando, you guys have already built NCAA. It's ready. It's running. As soon as it's settled, you'll unveil it to us, right?
God, I wish that was true. But no, like I said, I'm definitely anxious to hopefully work on it again in the future.
Good. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on Press Row. NCAA 14 was one of our favorite games. You know, it was a really, really nice way to, obviously didn't know at the time, to send it out.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody wants NCAA to come back. Has there been, and I know this is not your, obviously, area of decision, but any thoughts around perhaps moving the release schedule up for Madden now that there's no NCAA to sort of provide that July buffer?
No, I haven't heard anything to that nature. I mean, this year was obviously a shorter cycle for us since we had a later release on Gen 4. So we really had to try to pack a lot in a small amount of time. But yeah, I have no idea about future changing cycles or whatever.
Now, is all this stuff, we're looking at it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yes.
Is all of this, some of this, or none of this going to make it into the Xbox 360 and PS3 version?
Almost all of it. There's a couple of mechanics that might be slightly different.
Okay.
For like pass rush, they don't have the jump to snap.
Okay.
There's a couple, but pretty much identical content. They have gauntlet mode. They have Gen 3 has a specific boss.
Okay.
It's called Minefield. So anybody getting the Gen 3, they get to play that. That's really cool. Yeah.
Cool. And by the way, just looking at it, this, you know, I was. When I first saw Madden 25 on the next-gen consoles, it to me looked like, you know, basically the same visually as the 360 and the PS3. What I'm looking at now, which I've been told is a near-final version of the game, this is an updated build from E3. Looks very crisp, looks great. It's a clear visual improvement from last year.
Yeah, and right now we're using a pulled-back camera because I'm just more comfortable in Skills Trainer seeing more of the field.
Right.
But if you go up with the D-pad, you can, you know, to the default cam. We have, you know, all selectable cameras this year on offense and defense. So you can have the player lock cam, defensive cam. You can be close to the field. Shows off, you know, crazy difference. It's night and day, I think, from last year.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny Doberling. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for showing us the gauntlet. It was fun. And again, I think you guys have taken a good idea and you keep improving it, so we're looking forward to seeing the fun.
Great. I definitely want to challenge anybody to see if they can beat the gauntlet, though. I want to hear from everybody. If you happen to beat the gauntlet, you prestige, you can keep your lives and keep going with all the hard and elite content. So it's really going to be fun to see who really is the hardcore of the hardcore. And how
are there going to be leaderboards or anything for it?
No, so unfortunately, since it came in so late and was like something we really wanted, We didn't do it for this year, but we do have social feeds. So if, like, you know, you beat a high score, it will say, "Hey, your friend Joe here has beaten his high score of 25."
So you know, but you won't have a leaderboard.
Right.
Gotcha.
Hit the share button, tweet it out.
But I have a feeling that I have a feeling that you guys will probably look to continue to expand this mode and add leaderboards and stuff like that moving down the line.
Of course, I want. I mean, this is my baby. I feel like if people like it and we get a good response from it, then definitely. I mean, last year we found out that the people that played Skills Trainer played the game longer. So to me, that's a win, and that's why I think we reinvested, and I think it's something for the future.
Good deal.
And the Ultimate Team cards.
What's that?
And the Ultimate Team cards.
Yes, but that's back again. Since now there's 48 of them, all you got to do is get bronze in each category. So it still takes some time, but it's not as challenging as last year when you get gold and everything. And I know I had some hate directed at me with all the, I can't get gold in defensive audibles.
What,
you know?
People direct hate to people who make Madden?
Shocking.
Shocking.
So no, this I just put a video on how to beat them all.
Good deal. Hey, this looks fun. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it, Danny, and have a good rest of your trip here in New York.
Absolutely. Look to be on again sometime.
Absolutely. We'll make that happen.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, so we're here with Sean Ramjack Singh, producer for NHL. Sean, this is what, your 14th, 15th appearance on the Press Row podcast by this point?
Something like that, and I love every one of them. So.
Well, we appreciate it. So we are here in New York City. We're checking out, I am checking out NHL 15 for the next generation consoles for the first time. I'm excited. Man, a lot of people are saying that NHL is the next-gen sports game this fall. So, obviously, it makes you feel good, but any added pressure now that you have so many eyes kind of pointed at NHL saying, this is the game?
I don't know about added pressure. I mean, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves just to make the game as good as we can. And,
right.
You know, with all the hype coming out of E3 and the awards that we won coming out of there, I think it just served as motivation for us to do more. You know, we're in the home stretch right now and right. Put in some long hours. And it's one of those things with game development. Literally, the direct correlation, the more time you spend on it, the better the game is. So we're working some long hours right now, but I mean, we're seeing the game, as you see right now, compared to our E3 build, has come a long, long way and still have a ways to go. So pretty happy with it. Added pressure, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as it is. I don't know about added pressure.
So when we spoke at this same event last year, you said, hey, you know, we're not doing a next-gen game at launch. We're going to let some of the other guys figure out some of those tough things, take the time. So looking back, the right decision for NHL 15 making its debut on next-gen consoles this year?
Absolutely. I mean, especially around like the visuals piece where we work very closely with the UFC team. We're on the same floor. We're part of the same business group. And they were, you know, we have a lot of shared people working that were pushing the boundaries on UFC, and then we were able to leverage a lot of that work and bring it over to NHL. You know, without the sharing that we did with UFC, there was probably no chance of getting to where we got to with NHL 15 in terms of the visuals itself. So, absolutely, sitting back and, you know, a lot of the technological issues, I think all of us are still continuing to learn how to best leverage the consoles. I think we got kind of a year advantage by not coming out last year.
So what has you personally most excited about NHL 15 on the next-gen consoles this year?
The package. It's got to be the whole package. It's hard to pinpoint one thing because, you know, with our games these days, if you have no presentation and your gameplay is good, it's just kind of an average game. So it's got, the whole package has to come together. And, you know, the things that we focused on this year with the player models, the physics on the players and the puck, and then the NBC integration, the commentators your fans have been asking for, and then the ability to bring the arenas to life with the living worlds and the crowd and the authentic arenas. The package coming together is probably the thing that I'm most excited about, because during the development process, you see gameplay taking strides, and you go and you see the presentations taking strides, and the authenticity in the arenas and the players all taking strides. And, you know, in order to hit that bar that we want to hit, it all has to come together at the end. So to see it come together is what's the most fulfilling part for me personally.
So one of the things that I always find interesting about these next-gen versions of the games, there's obviously things that pop out right away. You know, and I'm looking at an NHL 15, clearly the visuals, you know, the ice, the player models, the faces, like when you score a goal, the benches, you know, congratulating the guys, the crowd looks better, the, Doc Emmerich and the presentation. But there's also some slow burn stuff that when you're, you know, the second week, the third week, the fourth week, when you're playing the next-gen launch games, that you just sort of almost feel, but it doesn't pop right away. When I'm playing NHL 15, what are a couple of examples maybe of those things that are sort of the slower burn that you're like, wow, okay, I really am starting to notice this or feel that you're going to see with NHL 15?
I would say one of the things that we still see new stuff every day is the puck physics. So when you pick it up and play it, you know, if you come back to us every year and purchase the game, you'll say, okay, the puck physics feels different. You'll notice that right away. But, you know, when you're playing 2, 3, 4 months later, you may see something that you haven't seen before. A squeaker goal or a crazy bounce off a blocker that shoots down off the pad and it trickles in. The puck physics is one of those things that's going to bring value every single time that you play the game. Again, it's literally, because we remodel it from the ground up and it's just physics doing what physics would do, it's just, you know, adds more realism. It does what you expect it to do. And you see some amazing, amazing moments that you've never seen before because of the puck physics. I think that's really the one thing that, because it's so new to the series this year, people start to appreciate the more they play the game.
Any surprises or challenges or things that kind of came up during the next-gen development that kind of, again, so sort of surprised you with the new console generation, or were, you know, or was it more of a smooth sailing, you know, kind of a process as you're learning the new hardware and all those kind of things?
I think because everything was new, so a little more challenging for us. Everything took a little bit longer than we probably thought it would. But, you know, testament to the team back home, and they just powered through all the hurdles that we over, you know, that we that came in our way and overcame them to pull it all together. But I think as a generalization, everything took a little bit longer. Aside from gameplay, everything took a little bit longer to do just as we were learning. And then a lot of times you overcome that hurdle, and you're like, okay, we figured that problem out. Now that we understand it better, understand the technology better, if we just give us a couple more days, we can actually take it to another level. And, you know, that's awesome, and it's also dangerous at the same time, because, you know, just, you know, one more day, you've got a finite amount of time.
Right.
So at one point, you're pushing off those things that you have later in the schedule. So, you know, it's a fine balance, but again, in general, I think just everything took a little bit longer, but there's a good sense of discovery and also some opportunities in us being able to take things to a level that we actually thought we couldn't take it to by just understanding the technology better.
So this show is coming out on July 11th. The game comes out, I believe, on September 9th.
September
is that
9th.
Correct? So what we know there's a lot of stuff that has been discussed and shown already, the general gameplay, the presentation, but there's some other stuff coming down the line, new modes or features or things like that. What's sort of the timetable for when we're going to see the rest of, you know, what NHL 15 has to offer unveiled?
It's probably in the next... I don't know if we have an exact timetable locked down quite yet. We still have a lot of gameplay and presentation stuff that we want to go into deep detail with, just so people can really appreciate the finite things that we've done with the game this year. And then we'll get into the modes and online and things like that. So we're probably in the next, I would say, anywhere 2 to 4, 5 weeks or so.
Okay. I don't know if you can talk about it or not, like GM Connected, I presume GM Connected is going to be returning for NHL 15 on the next-gen consoles?
You'll have to wait the next 2 to 5 weeks or so when we get into all the game mode stuff.
Okay. But. Gosh, I hope so. We're banking on that because we're big fans of that. Will any... You know, again, I'm not trying to put out any surprises, or, I mean, anything you think that some longtime fans of the series are going to see and hear, like, oh, yeah, that's what I've been hoping for, and things like that, based on, obviously, you get a lot of feedback from the community.
Absolutely, yeah. And we take all the feedback to heart, like... us as a team like getting feedback from everybody, whether through social media, on our forums, wherever. And we take it all to heart. We you know, don't lose sight of any of that feedback. It's all important. Those are the people that are most engaged with our game. So they're going to have to wait a little bit to find out the details of what's coming down the pipe.
He wants to tell me. I can see he wants to tell me. But then the PR people would have us both dragged out and shot. So we don't want that to happen.
Yes.
All right, well, Sean Ramjack Singh, we are excited. We'll be talking with you again in a few weeks when we are able to go into depth on those modes and things like that. But thanks for taking the time. Congratulations on many people's sports game of E3. We're all very excited to finally get our hands on the final version this September. I know I can't wait. So thanks for taking the time.
Awesome. Pleasure as always.
All right, the next part here features FIFA 15 Santiago Jaramillo, who gives a presentation about FIFA 15 to TJ, me, and a few other folks. And that's followed by a one-on-one that Santiago and I do after that presentation, all about FIFA 15.
It's an early build. It's about alpha quality so far. And it doesn't have all the features, but this is what we're talking about so far. Then we'll be unveiling things later on. But the first thing is almost our mission for this year, which is what we call feel the game. So we wanted to focus on the emotion when it comes to the crowd, the players, the atmosphere more than we have in previous years. Last year, the crowd was probably what most people were saying was the best feature in next-gen FIFA. It seemed like it took the biggest leap out of any feature ever made, and we didn't want to stop there, so we wanted to continue along those lines and continue to make improvements. So this is kind of what we're talking about, is bring football to life in detail and experience the emotion of the sport. So when it comes to emotion and intensity, one thing that we've done is what we call emotional intelligence. So we've added code so that every player on the pitch has an emotional state with respect to every other player on the pitch. So this is a debug environment in Vancouver. So you can see how it says neutral, neutral, neutral. That's because the game just started, nothing's going on. But it's basically against each player. Each player has a particular emotion towards them.
So it's kind of like the chemistry.
It's more than that. It's almost more fundamental than that, because it just drives. You know, when you play and you take a shot and you miss, or the goalkeeper makes a good save, the way the players react to those events, we're also adding almost the history of what's happening in that match to that player's emotional state. So, for example, if it's 0-0 and the goalkeeper makes a great save, then in the 90th minute, then the players are going to be over the moon about that, and they're going to go and congratulate him and be really happy. But if they're winning 3-0 and the goalkeeper makes a save, then okay, they're happy, but they're not as happy because it's not that crucial. And so that knowing what's happened in the game and what the teammates have done and the opponents have done is kind of what we're talking about here. So I'll give you this. This is a fabricated example because we're just forcing it to score an own goal.
Everton, very nice. Love it.
You're not going to like this. So we just go and score an own goal just to see what happens.
Oh, no.
And as soon as the ball goes in, you see that all the emotional state of every single player changes. So the Liverpool players are happy. The Everton players are sad. The goalkeeper is disgusted with himself because he just scored an own goal like that.
Right.
So we have tons and tons of different emotions for each player. And you'll see it throughout the match how it plays on. So, for example, another scenario is, I just seen it in the World Cup, when a player tackles a player a lot and hits him and kicks him throughout the entire match, like Fernandinho kicking James Rodriguez right. in the Colombia-Brazil game. Right. I'm Colombian, so I really felt that one.
That match was fixed. We all know that, right?
I'm not going to say anything,
okay,
but yes.
Right.
And you see how all the Colombian players were getting really upset at Fernandinho, at the referee, because he wasn't showing cards and he wasn't letting the Colombian player play. So even that we have in the game, we have what's called persistent fouling. So players will remember who's been tackling, who's been kicking, if it's been against the same guy. And you will see certain situations where the players kind of shove themselves afterwards because they've reached that level of kind of emotional intensity because of what's happened in the match. Also, there's positive things. So here, there's a video of basically it's a cross, and you can see that the player is, okay, well done for creating that chance. So there's positive kind of reinforcement to what the players are doing. And there's negative. In this situation, it's a typical case in football where a player, you know, key game, 0-0 against Real, misses a really good opportunity. So you see the other teammates being a little bit upset at him. Not too over the top, but they show that they know what's happening on the pitch, even if they're not involved in that play. So again, this just to kind of summarize it. We also have, once you play the game, you'll see that in the highlights, we have a much more intelligent highlight system now. So we'll show that emotion in slow motion in the highlights. We show the replays that caused that emotion to happen. So it's a lot more intelligent, our presentation system that we improve upon from last year. Also something that's really, really cool that you won't see as much in this build, but it's something that I think is the next step that we've taken in crowd, is what's called the regional specific fan behavior. So we call it signature crowd chants. What we're doing is, in any FIFA before FIFA 15, the crowd would only react to the events. So when you see the crowd animating, like in FIFA 14, it looks stunning, but they only react to things like goals, to shots, to fouls, to penalties, that type of stuff. But if you hear the chants that we have in the game, and you decided to pause the game and focus on the crowd, you would see them just kind of sitting there, even though you hear the chants. What's happening now is that we're tying the chants that you hear, so all the songs that you hear, to the animation of the crowd. So, for example, now when you play at Anfield with Liverpool, as the players are walking out on the pitch.
Why would anybody ever do that? Terrible idea.
Yeah, that's probably not good for you. But
play Goodison Park, get to Everton. Now, continue.
Okay. But I'm going to give a Liverpool example because they're the ones that sing You'll Never Walk Alone.
That's right.
So now you hear You'll Never Walk Alone and you'll see the fans standing up and holding the scarves up. Or with Chelsea, you'll hear like the motivational chants and you'll see the crowd doing this type of stuff. Or in South America, you'll see them jumping up and down and doing this. So it really brings the crowd to life in a way that we just never had before, because the crowd didn't react to what they're singing. So it's really a brand new feature that we're adding more and more content to this year. And I think that's what people are going to appreciate the most when it comes to the crowd in FIFA 15.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, the crowds in international soccer have always been one of the things that distinguish it from every other sport.
Yeah, I mean, even I think, especially after the World Cup this year, it will bring attention to a lot of people, especially in North America, who are not that familiar maybe with the sport in other parts of the world. They'll see how big of a role the crowd plays and how animated they are compared to North American sports.
Yeah.
Now, visuals, this is an example of a player in FIFA 14. So you can see how the player model is not great. The bottom half is all right, but the top half is, the shoulders are very narrow, they drop down very quickly. The jersey doesn't really fit him well, it's kind of floaty. There's obviously Benzema. And so you can see there's something not quite right. So we wanted to really bring the true essence of those players to life in FIFA 15. This is an example of what they look like in real life. They're athletic, they're lean, they're toned, and they're powerful. So this is obviously Schweinsteiger and Toni Kroos. And you can see how they look a lot more athletic, and the jerseys fit them much better. So this year, we've improved that. So this is an example now of FIFA 15, Gareth Bale with a brand new player model and player rig. So we've redone all the bones so that the shoulders are a little bit higher, a little bit broader. The jerseys fit better, the wrinkling on the shirt is new. So everything about the player is new, so it feels more authentic. Not just when you zoom in, but also from the gameplay camera. Now this is an example of what we've done to what we're calling the living pitch. So this is FIFA 14. It looks pretty good. But when you actually compare it to real life, this is a real life screenshot of Arsenal against Manchester City at Emirates on a kind of like sunny day conditions. So you can see, first of all, the lighting is different. The contrast is very different from what I showed you before. And very importantly, the pitch has degradation on it. Here you can see that the pitch is almost like a carpet, like turf. But throughout the game, you see all these changes. And this is only 14 minutes in. Now, in FIFA 15, it looks like this. So this is an actual just gameplay screenshot of FIFA 15. So it looks almost identical to real life. So again, this is the same scenario, Manchester City against Arsenal at Emirates in the same lighting condition. So it looks much better, and as you can see, the pitch has all that degradation on it too. And it's not like we're hard coding. I'll show you, this is a time-lapse video of kind of how it happens. It's not like we're hard coding that degradation just as a gimmick. We're actually tying it to the physics of the players against the grass. So when a player does a slide tackle, or he stumbles over, or as they step on the pitch and they sprint, that's what causes that degradation on the pitch. It's not a hard code. And here's another example that kind of just summarizes everything with some nice replay. So FIFA 14, again, it had really good visuals. We got praise on that. It looks really good. But when you look at FIFA 15, it looks way better. The lighting, the contrast, and even just the texture of the grass looks so much better. And there's other elements that we've done. So the lighting you see is very different, how it reflects on the jerseys. You see the grass particles are better. We have hair physics, so David Luiz and now Falcao coming up. So that's new this year as well. And now we have playing on rainy conditions, for example. You get a lot of mud on the kit, and it's again based on physics. It's not based on, oh, he did a slide tackle, let's put mud on him. It's based on the contact with the pitch. We have physics of the net actually moving the posts. In real life, the posts are not completely static. They actually shake a little bit. We have video ad boards. So when you watch the Premier League, when you watch the La Liga, this is just kind of placeholder at this point, but it will be perfectly authentic video ad boards by the time we ship for those leagues. So it just brings the whole stadium, the whole atmosphere to a new level. So again, just to summarize the new model, the new player models, the rendering, and all this stuff about the living pitch. And now when it comes to gameplay, something we're talking about now early on, because it's based a lot on feedback from FIFA 14, is that while FIFA 14 felt like, okay, it was the best game so far, a lot of people complained that it was a little bit sluggish at times, that the player control when you had the ball, when you were just off the ball running, especially at high speeds, changing direction felt very, like the momentum carried a little bit too much. So changing direction took too long, it didn't feel responsive enough. So we've done some work on that. This is our test bed environment. And this is FIFA 14. So he shows that if you sprint and then decide to change direction, it takes him a long time and it's not very responsive. In FIFA 15, same exact conditions, the player can do that same thing much quicker, much more responsively. So you can see that when you play the game, again, it's really buggy once you get your hands in the game because it's just an alpha build. But you can see where we're going and you'll get these moments that feel a lot more responsive in a way that in FIFA 14, you just couldn't really get. and we're doing more stuff. So agility and control is kind of what I just showed you. Run touch dribbling is using our locomotion system that we did last year called step-based locomotion in dribbling. So as you play the game, you'll see that the way the players kick the ball is a lot more natural. It's less cyclical. And last year you would see that it's kind of like the same animation over and over again at the same speed. Now you'll see that the player is almost more organic as the, in the way he kicks the ball forward. We've improved ball physics as well, and we've hit a lot of full body defending. You'll probably get to see a little bit of that when you play the game as well. And we've done some work to the CPU, to make playing in the CPU or playing with tactics be more rewarding. So part of it is that the CPU has now short-term objectives. While before it was always very generic in analyzing what to do at each moment, this is an example of PR14. In this scenario, the CPU would almost always try to do this. Well, he's very conservative. He tries to kind of... his main thing is not lose possession. And it can get a little bit frustrating because it's really hard to take the ball away from the CPU. But now in PR15, they actually try to take you on. So it doesn't mean that they're always going to beat you, but not by any means. If anything, I would say it's a little bit easier right now. But it just means that they're taking more chances, and because of that, you can get chances to take the ball back because you can tackle them. Or similarly, they will slide tackle you more than they do in previous years. So if they miss, you get a lot more space to then run with the ball. So it feels a lot more human when you play against the CPU this year. And it's not just about those individual tactics. We also have team tactics. So we've even implemented park the bus. You know, the famous Jose Mourinho, he coined that term when managing Chelsea. So when you play against the CPU, if they're a really small team and you're a really big team, then they'll probably play a lot further back and they'll probably implement that tactic of park the bus. And why that is important is because it means that as you play against different teams, for example, in career, you have to come up with different ways of breaking them down. Because beating... you know, if you're playing with Barcelona, beating Levante at the Nou Camp is going to be very different as if you're playing Atletico Madrid, where they come out and attack as well. So it forces you to play with your tactics a little bit more, and it makes the game more, it gives longevity to the game because each game feels a little bit more different. Just to summarize what I talked about, motion and intensity, the visuals, the intelligence of the CPU and the tactics, and then the improved player control for gameplay. And there's a lot more to come. We're barely scratching the surface of all the things that we've done this year, but as you know, in any early PR event, we only talk about a few things. So more things coming up, but that's it.
All right, so Santiago Jaramillo, did I pronounce that correctly?
Jaramillo.
Okay.
Very few people pronounce it properly. I gotta go by Santiago, and that's it.
FIFA 15 looking terrific. Tell me, what do you think, looking back on FIFA 14 last year in the next gen, what'd you do right and what'd you know you really wanted to hit on for this year?
14?
Yeah.
I think what we did right was, you know, almost miraculously making this game that felt like we had already made a next gen game, even though it was the first year we did it. So I think people who are not in the development industry for video games, they underestimate how complicated it is to make the first game of a new generation of consoles. All the things you have to do when it comes to just making the game work, you know, with the new technical requirement from both parties, Xbox and the PS4, just all the rendering issues. There's a lot to just make it run. And then on top of that, give you an experience that is with all the main modes, all the teams, with improved gameplay. So basically, we gave you a game that was a truly next-gen game, and you wouldn't want to go back and play FIFA 14 in current gen, even though we've been building that platform for years. I think what we could have done a little bit better is probably around the fun factor of gameplay. I think it had a lot of really good moments, and overall it was really, really good. But I think there was a time that it could get frustrating, especially around dribbling and locomotion, a little bit unresponsive, the momentum would be affecting you more than it should. So for people, especially if you were a newcomer, a new user, it was a difficult game to play at times. It looked stunning,
yeah.
But it was, I think, a little bit less fun than I would have wanted it to be. But at the same time, I think, for example, the crowd is something that we did an incredible job. You know, we've had a franchise for over a decade where the crowd is something we've always tried to hide because it just wasn't worth showing. And in 1 year, we made a change that made the crowd be almost something that everyone wanted to see. You know, you scored a goal, you wanted to run towards the crowd so you could see them celebrating in front of you, and it really felt like it was part of that experience. So in those elements that we've kind of ignored in the past, because of capacity and mainly because of technical limitations, I think we really over-delivered last year.
So with FIFA 15, clearly you haven't unveiled everything, but you've unveiled quite a bit. Gameplay is one of the items that you went over. One of the things that I've heard a bunch of the folks who listen to the show is talking about is fouling and yellow cards. There didn't seem to be nearly as much of that last year as there is in you know, the real games. Is that, do you agree with that? And is there a, you know, are there any adjustments made to that sort of side of gameplay this year?
Yeah, so I guess there's two parts to that. One is whether it's the decision making of the referee that people disagree with, and I think when it comes to that, the referee code is first of all, it's very complicated, but because there's so many variables that go into it. But just as when we watch a game on TV, we criticize almost every other decision by the referee.
Right.
I think that transferred to the game as well. So people complaining about referee decisions in our game, a lot of it is absolutely a bug and should have been fixed, or we want to fix. But a lot of it is the human is our reaction to decisions that we don't want, in the same way we react to them on TV. So the referee, in that sense, is kind of human in our game. It's not, we can't always make the right call, because right calls require judgment, and judgment varies from the referee we've coded to the players that are playing the game. The second...
That's what we're talking about right now. As TJ yells over, they called a foul. That was perfect timing. Not planned,
no kidding. The second part of it is that I actually think is going to be much more important to those that play against the CPU, is how the CPU plays. So the CPU defensively was extremely conservative in every single FIFA before FIFA 15. So it rarely slide tackles, it rarely fouls you, and it rarely gets cards, because when it does foul you, they're very kind of 50-50 type of fouls. What we've done in 15 is really humanize and kind of unleash the CPU a little bit more in that aggressiveness. And so when you play against the CPU, you get fouled a lot more. They get carded a lot more, but also more importantly, because they go in more. If you beat them or if you make the right pass, then the CPU is now out of position and it opens up spaces that you didn't have before. So I think us looking at the logic of the referee and the CPU changing the way it plays will make that part of the game different from previous years for sure.
Now, I'm a big FIFA fan, love the series, have for years. As I've gotten more into international soccer in the last few years, I've appreciated it even more. How, now that you know, you, I would assume now that you're very well versed in what the next generation consoles can do for you versus what you look at your priority list and your roadmap, like, how are you feeling about how much of the potential hardware, how much potential the hardware gives you versus where you want to do? Are you really starting to line that up well? Do you feel like you're really capitalizing on what is available to you now and are able to map this out even more so the next year, this year, next year, and so on?
Yeah, I think there's certain things that are not necessarily limited by the power of the consoles, but limited by what the console can do so far, because a lot of things need Microsoft and Sony to do, like APIs, or you know, they need to set up certain things for us to make this work. But the biggest limitation by far is really our capacity. So the fact that we need to ship this game every single year, then it comes to, it's a matter of priorities every year. So for example, last year we focused a lot on the crowd. This year we couldn't do as much on the crowd, so you know, improve that again exponentially, and also improve all the pitch and the players. We just can't, we don't have the time, we don't have the people. So we have to shift focus every year, so that's why the game almost develops in this almost overlapping way, where you create features that improve 1 year, and then they don't improve massively until maybe another cycle, so it's I think that's really the biggest limitation is time and capacity. But we're definitely understanding the console more, and we don't have something in our pocket ready to go that we just can't do because of technical limitations. It's really more the time and priorities.
Interesting. One of the things that FIFA did last year when it made the next generation launch very impressively was virtually, not completely, but virtually matched feature and function from the previous gen to the next gen. So it made a very nice transition. There were like one or two things that were out, like tournament mode, which is now back in.
Yeah.
One of the things that I am begging for, and now that I'm actually talking with you again face to face, any way for and I know we can't talk about new modes yet, but any way for an online league, or like where I can play in the Premier League or in La Liga or even some combined league with my friends, very similar how Madden and NHL do it.
Like almost like the online GM type of thing?
Yes, that's exactly right. Where I can play in a persistent world. Even if it's only for a season, it doesn't have to be continuing moving on. But that's sort of the one thing that prevents me personally. And again, I'm just talking about me. That prevents me playing it more because I'm in an online league with my friends in Madden. We're going to do an online league in NHL. Yep. You know, and I know you have a lot of great online modes. You have online seasons. You have obviously the Ultimate Team, the Pro Clubs. Like, it's there. But that one thing for me and a bunch of my friends is there. Do you hear that from a lot of people, and is that something that you're, you know, hoping to implement moving forward? That kind of a concept.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's a conversation I'm always open to having because, as a fan, I would love the same thing as you. You know, I'm actually primarily I'm an offline career type of user because I love all the authenticity that comes with that mode. But I would rather have human players in that road that I'm taking down the CPU.
Even just a few, like it doesn't need to be everybody.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Like yeah. I'm playing an MLB The Show League right now. Uh-huh. It's an online league and it's just four of us, but just knowing that every game I'm in matters not just to me but to this group of people is amazing.
So I guess you know, long story short is it's something that we're definitely aware of. It's something that we know how other games in the label have done. And at the end of the day, I sound like a broken record, but it is about the priorities. And we look at the amount of people that want it. Those that want it are very passionate about having it. But what we've seen with those moments is that they're very difficult to make them the way they've done so far. They just don't quite work at that massive scale.
Well, I mean, you think about it in soccer, right? Like it's. If you'd have to have it be very limited, right? Because all of a sudden, if you're like an online Europe, and you got the Bundesliga and La Liga, and like all of the clubs, and not just the top tier, but you know, Championship and Division One, Division Two, like trying to put all that together, I think is probably impossible. So you would the right way to come up with it to make it work. There's a lot of challenge there. Yet I know you guys probably have some great ideas as to how to make that work.
We're trying to come up with. What would really be the best design for something like that? In a way that doesn't... It offers a new experience to people rather than dilute the other experiences that we have in the game. And then hopefully we can dedicate... Again, because we only have 1 year to build it every year. We don't want that to be the only thing we do because it takes a lot of capacity to do something like that. So maybe now we have a team in place where we can plan an advanced team, where we can give them... features or things to prototype that doesn't really impact the capacity of the team that's making the game every year. Maybe that's a big task that they can take on, hopefully in the near future, to see if it's feasible and how we would do it and do it right. So, again, the short answer is we know about it. We all think it's a good idea if it's done right, but because of the cost associated with building it and the other things on the list, it never quite makes it.
Understood. Well, Santiago, once again, thank you. Congratulations on what looks like another great version of FIFA.
Looking forward to you playing it. And
I'm excited. Can't wait. And thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. So we got three sevenths
of the Press Row.
It's like 358th
podcast.
Like sometimes.
Crew here. You got myself, Rich Grisham, Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, TJ Larimer from That Sports Gamer. We have seen NHL, we have seen FIFA, we have seen Madden. Sumit, this is the second time you've seen these games. First time TJ and I have seen them. A couple of builds are newer, so I'll start with you, Sumit. What did you see? What did you like about FIFA?
So the number one thing I noticed about FIFA, and I think TJ will echo these thoughts, is the ball physics. It feels, and I know they've made efforts before in the past few years to demagnetize the ball from the foot, but it really just seems this year like. Anything can happen when you were trying to get from one end of the pitch to the other. A lot of, changes in possession, and even, like, really subtle things. So, like, I'll give an example. I was playing TJ, and I can't remember what led up to this, but, like, I think it was that a ball was in the air, and then I kicked it while, straight out of midair.
Right.
And it landed and took a weird hop forward, and I was like, wait a minute. That ball had some topspin on it, like, because I took it right off the foot in midair. I didn't, bring it to the ground first. So that's the kind of stuff that you're going to see. And to be fair, I think that's true for a lot of the improvements in FIFA this year, which is to say that they are relatively subtle gameplay changes that will take, hours upon hours to really get the full sense of. But I think, if that's an indication of what we're going to see overall, hopefully the AI and stuff will match it. Obviously, it's really hard to tell that from like a 20-minute game at a press event, but that's what I'm excited about.
So, TJ, you've been playing a lot of FIFA 14 lately, and now today was your first time hands-on with FIFA 15. What did you notice, and what stood out to you?
Yeah, the main thing, like Smith says, was the ball is alive. No longer is it just stuck to your foot, and you're just kind of dragging it around. It's got physics, so you're seeing the top spin. Passes are feel like they're getting led a little bit better. I had one against Urich where I sent the through ball, and in FIFA 14, the defender would have easily taken it. But I had that little bit of curve on it just to get out in front so Robin could make a good run with it. And it just feels more realistic to the game that everybody's been seeing in the World Cup recently. And I like it, as the woodwork was good for me. So that was very realistic.
Yeah. The thing that one of the little things that I noticed that I like is if you play World Cup, they added an ability on like a corner kick to have certain tactics. That was new to World Cup. They're bringing it forward to FIFA 15. I like that. I love FIFA, but I'm not good at it enough to really do some of the things that I want to do. One of my goals is to get better at FIFA. I'm a lot better now than I was a couple of years ago. But there's a whole lot more going on in FIFA than I'm aware of, and certainly it looks better. I mean, it's not that FIFA 14 didn't look great, but FIFA 15 is crisper. The field definitely, whether they might have taken it a little over the top with the field degradation.
TJ and I are of the same opinion. It's like 35 minutes into a game, looks like people have been playing for 3 hours.
Yeah. And it's not the final build, and they may be trying to put it to highlight it. I mean, it's better, I think, to have it that way than not at all. It's definitely noticeable. It's interesting. It looks great. It's FIFA. I mean, FIFA's already great. I mean, they'd have to really do something crazy to screw it up. What I'm most interested in, really, at this point, are what are the new ways that we get to play the game, or the different ways we get to play the game, which we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. But
thing we saw was fouls were getting called.
Yes.
And there was some that looked like a little guys were going for the flop, but right. Fouls were getting called, and that's a huge improvement over last year.
That's good, yeah. All right, so NHL was next. Again, first time I'd seen it. It was a newer build. I'll tell you, the thing that I noticed the most about NHL, not the most, but after you get past the clear visual improvements, the ice looks great, the players look great, the crowd looks better, the presentation package. And this could be just the settings. I even brought it up to Sean after I played, but the game feels beefier, weightier. Momentum feels even more important. It feels slower. Not slower like it's a problem even, but just slower. It feels like there's more, less of a pinball, more of a weight momentum based thing. I mean, Sumit, did you get that same sense?
I did. Yeah. I have that sense. I've had that sense before because I generally play on the like hardcore game tuning,
right?
Because I like the action to feel weighty like that,
right.
But that was pronounced here. We weren't. I think we were playing on the simulation setting,
yeah.
For the gameplay tuning. But yeah, I mean, if you try to skate into the attack zone and just like squeak by someone, like you're gonna get
crushed.
You're gonna get checked.
You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna get taken down in the attack zone. You know, you've really got to be smart about your passes. That's another thing. I saw, like, talking about ball physics in FIFA, the puck physics in NHL are huge.
Yes.
That's one of the big things they're promoting this year, and it makes a difference when, you know, you see the puck bouncing off of anything and everything, not pinballing, but, you know, you are seeing, like, guys get in front of shots, in deflect them in some way, you know, it bounces off a stick here, off of the, you know, like a skate there, and you know, I saw a lot of like little deflections and, you know, shots go to the side away from goal, which is kind of what I noticed. I watched a ton of hockey, you know, this past year, and I'm a big hockey fan in general, and that was something that really came through. It's hard to get a shot on goal.
Yes.
In hockey. Unless you're the Kings playing against the Rangers, and then you can just put 40 on Henrik Lundqvist real easily because the defense in front of him doesn't do anything. But
it's okay, man. It's okay. But, you still get to raise a banner in the gardens.
But, you know, it's that's the kind of thing that you know, again, it's subtle, but it makes a difference.
Yeah. One of the, you talk about subtle differences, a couple things that I saw. One point, I skated in, or I think actually TJ skated in on the goaltender, and the skater and Corey Schneider got tangled up, and like the goaltender sort of went spinning away. I'd never seen that before. And a little thing that I saw, at one point the puck started rolling, but rolling on its side. And it was rolling on its side and down the ice, and I had never seen that. And at first I thought it was like a little bug or something, but I realized, no, it's actually on its side. TJ, you and I played a full game, had some fun. What are your thoughts on NHL?
Well, my main problem was I tried to play it like last-gen NHL.
Yeah, and it's different.
It's completely, it looks the same, like...
Yeah, you can't tell.
Look, but you really have to slow down, get your pace right. You can't just fly into the other zone and try to score, because it's just not going to work right now. Another big thing I did that I noticed was, in last year, when you laid a guy out, you could just get the puck and just keep going. This year there's a lot more. You hit him, you're going to feel the impact of it,
right.
And you're not going to be able to go and make a quick move off that like you used to be able to. So now you're going to have to hit him and hope someone's there trailing to grab the puck and keep going. So it's going to be a big change this year, I think.
And I think that's what I said when I talked about NHL a bit after E3, was that, like, you know, it is to your benefit to actually attempt to set up in the offensive zone, like real hockey teams do, right?
Right.
You know, you're not just going to do this rushing up and down the ice type of gameplay. You know, what you really want to do is have some strategy, you know, maybe to set up behind the net, or just, you know, try to keep the puck moving in the offensive zone. And, like, you know, you've got point men, use them. That's what you're going to have to do, I think, in NHL this year to succeed. Scored the first two goals I scored. I beat Duke from EAPR 4-2. The first two goals I scored were from blast from the point. And that's, I think, going to be pretty important.
Yeah. All right, and Madden. So first time I had seen Madden, TJ and I played a little bit. Again, things that I noticed right off the bat, looks crisper. You know, all the stuff that you've heard, to me, seeing it, I mean, I could definitely see it. And I play Madden 3-4 times a week in our league, so I'm still regularly in the Madden 25, not the Madden 15. But the real focus today was on some of the skills challenge and running the gauntlet. Both of you guys did it. TJ, what did you think about skills challenge and the running the gauntlet stuff?
I like that stuff, because last year that's what really got me into, like, the read option, was when I realized I have a team that's going to utilize the read option. I'm going to go into this challenge, I'm going to run it over and over again, and I'm going to learn what I have to do. And the gauntlet specifically looks like something that's going to be taking you through every different thing to run through, either following your blockers or reading, making good reads and throwing precise passes. But just the addition of all the new concept stuff that they're showing off in the skills challenge, I think it's going to be great to get new people into playing those games, or good players to take that next step. That it's hard if you go out and you buy the Prima game guide to Madden. Sometimes you read it and you're like, yeah, I kind of get it, but I don't really. Or if you watch a stream or something, you understand what they're saying, but having the ability to just run it over and over again and play it.
So we've talked ad nauseum, Sumit, on Press Row about sports games need to do a better job, not just of teaching you how to play the video game, but also to understand why certain tactics and strategies should be employed at certain times. That's clearly a focus of what they're trying to do based on what you've seen. Do you think they're on the right path, and do you think this will help that whole process?
I really do think they're on the right path. TJ said it. Look, I love my man Z-Farls. I love what those guys do.
Yeah, man.
But it's pretty technical if you don't already understand the sport of football.
Right. Right.
And they've enlisted like a former college coach or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But you know, you're going to have a guy who's explaining like football concepts to you. And I think they've done a really good job in the skills trainer of setting out not just the plays themselves or the tactics, but why you would want to use them and in what particular situations you would want to use them. You know, they're teaching you what a cover two defense looks like. They're teaching you how to you know, make a read as a quarterback, how to see it on the field, you know, depending on the position of the defensive players, and then what kinds of offensive plays to pick to best attack that defense. You know, it's the kind of thing that I've really always wanted out of Madden, because, you know, for as much as I play it, I'm not that good at it. And I'm hoping that this could, you know, make me better as someone who does play a lot of Madden, but also bring in people who maybe don't understand football strategy, or maybe they do. They really know football, but they don't know Madden, and this, I think, will help them to play that. And the gauntlet aspect of it is, I think, neat, because let's say you try to jump right into the gauntlet. You're like, skills trainer, it's for babies. Or like, I don't want to go through some boring drills. I'm going to just jump into this gauntlet, because this is like, it's like a, you know, an arcade challenge kind of setup. And you might fail, because it's like they do, I think, 5 drills, and then there's a boss battle, or 4 drills, and then like a boss thing. You know, you're going to jump into it, and you might fail, and you'll be like, okay, well, I was able to do these drills, but I clearly have to go into the skills trainer to improve in the areas that I'm deficient. And so the combination, I think, of the skills trainer and the gauntlet could be a really powerful one.
So I think, to both of you guys' points, I think they're on the right path. Whether it actually ultimately works or not, who knows? But just in watching the little bit that I saw where you have them explaining in cover two and the zones and how to attack it, makes me a little bit smarter already. Like, it's easy if you want to go out to the world. Like Kat Bailey said, when she first started playing Madden, she just threw herself, you know, she Googled cover two and these different things, and she just learned it from the different sources that are on the internet. It's easy if you want to go out and spend the time to learn the lingo, but when you integrate it into the game, when you make that a combined experience, I think you're putting yourself down the right path. I think you got a great idea. Whether it works or not, we'll see.
But that's like, to me, that's doing something that really demonstrates the power of interactivity, right?
Yes.
Like, again, you were saying there are many sources, and you know, you can be like a coach and like watch film or have someone explain it to you, but you're playing it yourself. You're having someone teach it to you. Like, this is the kind of thing that Madden and games could do, and I wish it did more of, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, and hopefully it's done well. Hopefully it's used by people. Hopefully the feedback is positive, and this continues to be just a part of what these games do. Because as we said, they could all need it, because they know their core is going to buy the game every year, and they want to expand it. And one way to expand it is to bring people in, and one way to bring people in is to actually teach them not just how to play the game, but how to play the game in a bigger picture. So, all right. Quick hits of the three that you played. What are you most excited about?
FIFA, always.
Looks great.
Man, it's a tie between NHL and Madden. Visually, I was really, really impressed when I saw it at E3, and continue to be impressed by Madden. It's considering what they put out on PS4 and Xbox One last fall, you know, and seeing where they are now, it's really incredible. And at the same time, I'm a huge hockey fan and a huge fan of EA's NHL franchise, and I just want to take that PS4 build home with me.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's NHL because, you know, it's the last new next-gen title. I'm a huge NHL fan. There was a bit of a hole last launch, you know, without the hockey. I'm a big hockey guy. I can't wait for our online franchise, that the Press Row League we're going to be in. It's going to be great. Doesn't mean I'm not excited for FIFA. I am. Doesn't mean I'm not excited for Madden. I am, because I know we're going to have our league in Madden. We're not going to have one in FIFA because they don't have that mode.
Unless they introduce
tragic.
It this year. I don't know.
I get the feeling they won't. I asked about it.
We can get some Google Docs together and try to do something.
We might. But anyway, all three showed well, I thought. Yeah. There was certainly no stinker of the bunch. And hey, I'm excited for all of them. But yeah, NHL is my number one. All right, so for TJ Lowerman, Sumit Sarkar, I'm Rich Grisham. Thanks for listening to us play a whole bunch of games today. Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Please subscribe to this show via iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Windows app, or just go to Operation Sports every day, and that's where you'll find this as well. Wherever you get it, please make sure that you rate and review it and comment on it, because that helps keep the show going. Also, please be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Press Row Podcast, as well as all of our panelists and supporters, including Operation Sports, Chris Sanner at Chris_SNR, Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good, Polygon's Sumit Sarkar at Sumit Sarkar, Operation Sports Steve Noah at Steve_OS, Pasta Padre's Brian Weedy at Pasta Padre, US Gamers Cat Bailey at the_CatBot, TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer, and me, your host, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham, as well as, of course, Operation Sports at Operation Sports. Again, thank you so much to the great folks at Operation Sports for making the show happen, and especially thank you to our listeners. We really appreciate your support.